Are we the snowflake generation? Is romance dead? Is social media turning our brains to mush? Is chivalry sexist? Welcome to 20s Questions. Join me, Francesca McClement, as I set out to talk to young people from different countries, continents, and backgrounds about what it's like to be a young person in this day and age.
Whether you like fashion or not, it plays a part in all of our lives. Choosing what to wear is part of our daily routine. I, for one, love to dress up, particularly for special occasions. It's fun and makes you feel good. But turning creative vision into your own business is a whole different ballgame. Joining me this week from Mumbai, India, is 28-year-old fashion designer and co-founder of Indian occasion wear brand UA, Aisha Kalyaniwala. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me, Aisha.
Thank you for having me, Francesca.
So how are you doing? How are things in India?
Well, things aren't great right now due to the lockdown, but we're trying to scrape through. We're doing our bit. And business-wise, I think there's not a lot of traction, but we're trying to be as strong, motivated, and inspired as we possibly can.
Yeah, it must be hard to keep up motivation and inspirations when you're in lockdown. And obviously the public health situation there is really dire at the moment.
Absolutely. So for a brand which thrives on inspiration whilst travel, so the past three collections that UA has done, we've used travel as one of our main sources of inspiration. For example, our previous collection was called Mediterranean Musings, and we went to Portugal and we were inspired by the tiles and the blue and the white and the sea and the color. And that's where we sort of started, you know, ideating from. And yeah, so it is tough to sort of, you know, brainstorm, and even not even brainstorming, but just finding an idea, finding something that you can start from to build a new collection. And that's where the main challenge has been.
Also, your company is mainly occasion wear. And for the past year, most of us have been living in trackies at home, not really going out to special occasions. So how have you found that as a fashion company adapting to the pandemic and the needs of people changing?
Okay, so this is something that everyone should know. Indians will always get married. There will always be a big Indian wedding, whether there's a pandemic, whether there's a cyclone, or whether there's an earthquake. So luckily for us, even though the weddings aren't as big as they normally would be, and by big I mean, you know, weddings are of 1,000 to 2,000 people in India, the average wedding.
Yeah.
So weddings have just become smaller.
Yeah.
And I feel like where UA can play an active role in that is that our designs and our garments aren't as heavy as a normal bride or groom would choose to wear for their wedding day. They're a lot more simple, more subtle. The colors are a lot more subtle. And the prices are also a lot more reasonable, more accessible for, I guess, people in their 20s or 30s to be spending on. So I feel in that way, we sort of lucked out. We have been getting orders because we know that we're more affordable than the other bigger Indian brands. And even engagements, right? Engagements are also a big thing over here. So even the engagement has, like, there's an engagement party, there's a pre-engagement small, like, ritual that people do at homes. So they require clothes for that as well. So we are getting orders. We obviously expected a lot more orders last year and this year. And we haven't lived up to our expectations, obviously, due to the pandemic. But I guess we're just hanging in there for now.
Have you always known that you wanted to be a designer and have your own brand, or was there a specific moment in your journey in the fashion industry where you realized, actually, I want to be my own boss and have my own company?
I think it was in high school where I sort of warmed up to the idea of doing something in the creative space. I think before that, I wasn't really sure where my interests lay and where I could, you know, what I saw myself doing. And I think there wasn't exactly a one point where I thought that, okay, I know now that I want to be a designer. I think it was just over a period of a few months, I started designing my own logo. And I felt like my interest in fashion sort of grew. So when it was time to apply to university or look at options and brainstorm of what I like, what I don't like, I think I just settled on fashion because it was something that I was interested in, that I liked to do. And yeah, I think it's great that I did that because it's really something I enjoy doing.
And in terms of like your journey in fashion, I saw that you came to London to study.
Yeah, when I was 18 years old. It was a big step, but I was very confident and independent. And I mean, being in London, being in central London, staying there, my campus, all three campuses of mine were in central London. And it was great. I think it was just exposure to stuff which could inspire my work. That was the main thing, yeah.
It was the London College of Fashion, wasn't it?
Correct.
Like, how are you personally inspired? You said you mentioned travels, but like in London, for example, do you sort of look at other brands to get inspired, or just as you're walking through the streets, how does inspiration come to a fashion designer?
I think a mix of both. An idea could suddenly pop out, you know, while you're staring at a beautiful building.
Yeah.
With like Victorian architecture, or the churches are so beautiful. You could see a certain design in that that could spur off a line of different ideas. And yeah, it's just, there's so much inspiration. There's so many museums. There are so many traveling exhibitions. There's so much beauty in nature, in architecture. There are so many designers in London. There's so many small boutiques, small, young, thriving designers who you could just reach out to. I interned with a couple of young designers as well, which taught me a great deal of how business is run there. So yeah, it could be anything from a small idea to thinking over a series of different ideas and then choosing one and brainstorming that one.
And in terms of stumbling blocks as a company and an entrepreneur, what have the greatest ones been, except COVID? Obviously, I feel like that's the biggest one for a lot of companies and businesses, but before that, what have you found to be the biggest challenges? Because obviously this is kind of a dream for you now, but has the dream proven to be very difficult at times?
I think it's definitely daunting to own a company because you're responsible for your own livelihood and you're responsible for everyone working for you for their livelihood as well. I think the biggest challenge for me has been being a good leader. You know, it's hard to manage a team. It's hard to allocate work resources, how to manage time between all of your employees well and to the maximum possible. Yeah, I think it's, you know, just being fair, being attentive to detail. I realized very soon that I am the only person who's going to be so OCD about every single thing in my company. My employees are not going to be. They might do a haphazard job just to buy some time for themselves. But I feel like when I'm doing something, you know, I need to get it right. The pursuit of perfection. And I feel like sort of encouraging my employees to be so has been a challenge.
As in, do you have to oversee the design at like every stage?
So I mainly handle the design work, but it's everything from conversing with the client to producing the actual garment. And I obviously oversee the process, but I mainly come in when the garment is made and I do a quick quality check. So I think, yeah, the process is something that I can look into.
I see. That's interesting. And in terms of how the garment is made, I wanted to talk to you a bit about sustainable fashion. Because the fashion industry accounts for 10% of global carbon emissions. And designers like Stella McCartney have really made ecological processes and sustainability really at the heart of her brand. And I was just wondering like what your thoughts are on the shift the industry is making towards sustainability. Have you found it practical to source materials from sustainable sources, or is it still quite difficult and practical or really expensive as an Indian brand, maybe especially?
It's definitely more expensive. It's a growing market still in India. People aren't as aware about sustainability and eco-friendly fabrics or any kind of products as they are in the West. And I think Since it's such a niche market, to teach people about why it's important to buy from your brand because you're sustainable, that is a big step. And we're trying to be as eco-friendly and sustainable as we can. I'll give you a couple of examples. So as soon as the pandemic started and it hit India and people were scrambling around for getting the right type of mask, so we started making masks out of the scrap material that we had. So when you make a garment and you have a piece of fabric, you cut a certain pattern out of the fabric, and the leftover fabric is sort of disposed of. So what we did for 2 years actually is we kept that remaining fabric, and I had an idea of what I would probably do with it later. Maybe I would make like a nice art piece to hang in my showroom. But when the time came to actually sit down and think, what can I do with it? I thought of using masks. So we made secure 3-layer masks, and we obviously propagated them and marketed them as zero waste, because we weren't wasting the fabric that we had already used to cut garments. We were making stuff from them, stuff that people could use. So that was one way. And the other thing I think is packaging. So while we send things overseas as well, we have a large NRI, which is non-resident Indian audience, who buys garments and clothes from us. It's important not to use plastic. So we've been sort of working with packaging brands who aren't using actual plastic. And till now, I think we've been successful. It is a bit of a challenge when there's the monsoon and you have your packages being delivered from one country to another, and you don't know how they're going to be treating your boxes in the monsoon when it's raining. So for that, we have to look into something obviously more sustainable. But yeah, I mean, I guess fabric and Indian fabric, I mean, you're going to be using silks. And the only way I see it being sustainable is that silks last long. There's something that you can keep, that you can take care of, and you can wear multiple times. So yeah, and since the high ticket pieces, I mean, our pieces would in pounds, I think, range on an average between 300 to 600 pounds. If you're investing so much money in an outfit, you want to keep it for a long period of time. So I think we aren't fast fashion. And I think that's one way in which we're sustainable, then more sustainable than the rest.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think fast fashion and the amount of materials that are used and wastage and the conditions in which they're produced are one of the biggest reasons why it's so
absolutely.
Whereas smaller ateliers, it's easier for them to sort of prioritize well-being and sustainability, like you said. So yeah, I think that's really interesting. I for one, by the way, am a big fan of UA. I love your clothes. I think they're
thank you. That's so nice to hear.
And I love how you managed to blend like European styles with Indian in a really beautiful way, and I feel like it does justice to both as well, which is pretty cool.
Thank you. We are struggling right now to find inspiration, as I mentioned earlier. But hopefully our new collection, which we'll be releasing in August, I hope, if everything goes well in India. I think it'll be something different.
Amazing. And what's your best advice to young people wanting to set up their own business, like aspiring entrepreneurs?
Just gain experience first. Work in companies before starting your own company. I feel like experience is so important because you need to know how companies work, how businesses are managed. You know, the financial aspect is so important. I forgot to add that in the challenges section, but that's one major aspect, you know, managing finances. And how do you allocate money towards the marketing sector or to the production sector to make a new collection? Yeah, so just have a solid background. And I think if you're an entrepreneur, you're thinking of what to do, first find a problem and then find a way to solve that problem. And that will be a great business idea. For example, we felt there was a lack of contemporary Indian clothes in the Indian wedding wear market, you know, which there was too much gold and bling and you know, and we felt there was a lack of something that was more subtle, that was simple, that was classic, clean. And that's where we identified the problem. Yeah, that would be my advice. Identify the problem and find the solution.
That's interesting. And yeah, I feel like your clothing, it's modern and can appeal to all ages because it's fairly simple. It's not like overpowering in any way.
Yeah.
Are you and your other co-founder some of the youngest in the business, or are there other designers in Mumbai that are in their 20s? Because I feel like having your own clothing brand, you're quite young to have one. Are you some of the youngest in the industry?
I guess we are. We're lucky to have had backing, financial backing from our families. So yes, even though it's really hard and it's unknown, you know, having for such a young person to have a brand already, a business already. But if you have the right backing, if you have the passion, I think there's no right age to do it. We all watch Shark Tank and we know there's no right age to have a business.
No, I wasn't saying it in the sense that you're too young to have one. I was more just curious, are you respected, does your age ever hold you back in terms of like how you're viewed in the industry or with clients?
No, I don't think so. I think people value the opinion of the designers because people who come to shop from us, they're sort of clueless at times. For example, if I'm a customer and I walk into my store, I wouldn't know, most of my clients wouldn't know where to start or what would look good on them, what would flatter them, you know, what color would look nice on them. So I feel in that aspect, they do give you enough credit and respect.
So you have quite a lot of power actually, because you kind of plan how people are going to look at special occasions, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but they need to like it themselves. They need to feel good in it, right?
Like in a way, your job is to make them see themselves in a way that they wouldn't have thought that they could look.
I guess that's also been a good salesperson. You know, if you can sell it to someone, if you want to sell an outfit and you convince that person that really looks good on them.
Yeah.
That's also being a great salesperson.
Especially if it's pushing them out of their comfort zone as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you consider the best and worst thing about being a young person in this day and age?
I think the best and worst thing are the same. Consuming so much of information.
Okay.
You know, there's information all around us. In 2021, I know what the president of America is saying. I know what the president of Ghana is saying. I know what a young influencer in Alaska is talking about. And I know what a young influencer in a remote village in India is talking about. And there are just so many opinions everywhere. So I think in a way, it's a good thing because you're well informed. You're more informed about what's going on in the world. So that's a good thing. And I think the bad thing about being a young person is that you could be very impressionable due to so much of information everywhere.
An overload.
Yeah. Your mind is impressionable. Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to come into your own and acknowledge who you are or what you really want, because we're consuming so much information every day on social media or TV or, you know, other kind of platforms. But it's important to find that balance, I guess.
Well, thank you so much, Aisha, for joining me. It's been a really interesting chat. I wish UA Mumbai every luck in the world.
Thank you so much, Francesca. Thank you for having me. And I thought this was a very introspective and interesting conversation.
Thank you for tuning into 20s Questions. As always, you can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on my website, franthropology.com.